Hey guys, welcome to the Bantam Audiobooks Podcast. Today I'm going to be reading the first chapter of Dividing Blades by Cole Riley Slamot. I should have asked him how to pronounce his last name, but I can't see any other way to do it. If I did that wrong, I'm sorry. So you can get this off of Amazon. It appears to be on both Kindle and paperback. So, yeah, hope you enjoy chapter one. The dazzling torches lit up the castle garden in a golden light. Banners flowed down the tall castle's balcony, and decks displaying the kingdom's 20th anniversary of peace and prosperity. The sleeping kingdom of Trilenden had spent all day celebrating at the fair, eating, laughing, talking, dancing, watching joust tournaments, and finished by listening to the king's speech at day's end. To wrap up all the festivities, King Quince of Trilenden invited his council to attend a dance in his gardens. So here I was, stuck in a rout of social graces and fake smiles. My sister Elena must have spotted me in the corner by myself. She walked over and offered me a warm smile. "You should be out there, dancing and celebrating," she said. Truth was, she hated it as much as I did. Then she punched me on the shoulder. "Okay, but seriously, Leanne didn't leave me out there all alone. Come on now, you're going to dance." She linked arms with me and led me out to the dance floor as I rubbed my sore shoulder. The band started playing, and so began the constant dance routine of holding hands, dancing in a circle, spinning, clapping, weaving between dancing couples, and switching partners. After an hour of dancing, I'm so exhausted I could hit the ground. Trumpets blew, sending the three-note tune across the castle garden. Prince Silver and High Lady Anestia proudly announced their engagement, spoke the trumpet boy. "Engagement?" I let go of my partner's hand and leave the dance floor at the brisk pace. Now at the edge, I tried to gather my thoughts. Anesia? Engaged? That moment, Prince Zovir and Lady Anesia entered the gardens, linked arm in arm. Anesia was in an elegant and multicolored gown of sky blue, sun yellow, and burnt gold. Her hair weaved in an elaborate braid. Elena made her way to Anesia with a huge smile on her face as they held hands and hugged. The exchange was rather weird, though, somber even. Anesia seemed to relaxed into Elena. Friends since they were mere kids, Elena showed support by patting Anesia on her back. When the two parted, they smiled. When Anesia linked arms was over, she was back to her proper stoic self. And there, on her neck, I noticed a common chain necklace with a simple engagement ring bond to it. For a moment, I didn't know if I saw it correctly. Could it be? And now I knew I would just have to get her alone or get a dance with her. I find my opportunity when Anesia excuses herself from the party with Elena. They casually stroll towards the castle courtyard. I follow behind a ways, but stop as they circle the fountain in the middle of the courtyard and take a seat on its edge. They talk for some time, but I can't hear what they are saying. Prince Zovir, King Quince's son, found them and greeted Anesia with a bright smile. He gave her a white rose, and she acted somewhat hesitant and startled when he kissed her on the cheek. "What am I doing?" eavesdropping like this. "Hello, who's there?" Anesia asked, speaking in my direction. When I turned around, I noticed both Elena and Zovir now had left. I must have made too much noise leaving. Well, it's too awkward to leave now. I turned back around and emerged. "Oh, Sir Lynn, you startled me," she said with a curtsy. "Lady Anesia," I said with a bow. I had the rose in her hand, which looked small and plucked. Then my gaze wandered to the fountain where white petals floated on top. "Odd," I thought, raising a brow. A chorus of crickets began, and somewhere an owl hooted. "Beautiful evening it is. I think I'll dismiss myself and take a stroll," I inhaled. "You still wear it, the engagement ring I gave you," the raspy voice rumbled up my throat. The words escaped my lips in a soft whisper. I turned my head, not recognizing the hollowness of my own tone. Quivering warmth spread through my chest, though my shoulders were cold as rocks. I exhaled, trying to release the weight that ensnared my heart. The necklace swung loosely across Anesia's neck. Without seeming to give it thought, she picked it up, twirling it back and forth between the tips of her fingers. Her green eyes grew soft as they gazed into mine. When she looked away with a quiet gasp, I could see clearly the tears caress her face, shimmering in the moonlight. Anesia inhaled sharply, her breath sounding shallow. Her eyes darted elsewhere as I attempted to meet her gaze. "Does it still mean anything?" I asked. Anesia shook her head, looking to the sky as she quietly played with her ring. "It does. Did," Anesia said. "I just don't know, Leanne. I just don't know." She searched my eyes intently with her gaze, as if she wanted to say more, but couldn't. She crossed her arms and walked to the edge of the fountain, staring into its waters. As she goes over, will be expecting me, and frankly, while I... She looked at me and sighed. Very well, then. She nodded. I quietly sighed to myself and turned to leave as well. I rubbed my eyes, but a tear slipped by. Can't let her go. No, not this time. Not after 4 years. In Asia, wait, I... Stammering, I searched for words, but found none. Lian, please. Her plea struck me in the heart. Say if you love someone, you should let them go. But what if I can't be man enough to do it? Anasia shook her head. Her braids snaked back and forth between her shoulder blades. I wondered what she was thinking. If there was any hope that she still loved me, why else would she keep her engagement ring, the one I had given her 4 years ago? I walked over to face her, but she kept studying the ground. Anasia, I felt like we could. I slowly reached out to grab her hand, but drew back. Nothing can ever be the same, especially now. Her voice wavered as her chin quavered. She closed her eyes with a gasp and her eyelids fluttered. Especially now? I inquired softly, and Anasia's lips parted to answer. And only did she finally look at me. I don't know how to say it. My father, her teeth chattered, is dead. Dead? My heart beat once, maybe twice. I'm sorry, I didn't know, I said, muttering what I hoped was a heartfelt condolence. You never know anything. Anasia crossed her arms. What's that supposed to mean? My jaw flexed as I knit my eyebrows together. Every bone in my body screamed at me to fight back, but I sighed, letting the moment pass. I look out into the horizon, looking at the long, dramatic arcs in the edge of the castle courtyard. I slide, licking my dry lips, and smiled slightly, unsure of how to continue. Maybe now that your father was the only thing standing in our way, we could finally be happy, I said. Smack. I reached up to touch my cheek where Anastasia had slapped it, her face furious and bulging in anger as she stared at me. You're still my father, Lin. I thought of you more highly than that just to go disrespecting the dead, let alone my own father. I'm sorry, I said as generic as it sounded. I just, seeing you still wore your engagement ring for once in 4 years, I had hope, and I had to know where you stood now that nothing keeps us apart. Nothing? Anastasia said in a tone that sounded like she was startled. You forget. I'm promised to Prince Zover. Been that way since I was young, she blinked. Wait, what? You never told me this? Since you were a child? Yes, Lin. Like it or not, it's life, my life. Do what is best for the kingdom. I'm afraid it's become my duty. It doesn't have to be, I whispered. She tossed the rose into the fountain angrily. Can't seem to get it through that thick skull of yours that I'm stuck in this castle until I die, because that's what was promised and what will keep the kingdom from falling apart. What will? I asked. Me, him, the whole kingdom. We need a future king and queen to give the people hope. She said, it must be done. That's just something you've been told all your life, Anastasia. It's a lie. I bet you don't even love Prince Zover. You don't know that, she said. Then do you? I asked. Yes, she said simply, her breath quickening. If you must know, yes. She sat down at the edge of the fountain, seeming to be exhausted. Is this man bothering you, ma'am? Came a stranger's voice. Couldn't help but overhear all the yelling. Then he directed the question towards me. Hey, bud, I think it's time you leave her alone. He said, putting a hand on my shoulder. I shoved it away as he placed a hand on his sword. I also gripped mine. No, stop it. And Anastasia was sitting up and running to insert herself in the middle of the two of us. Look, I'm fine, she said, told the stranger. He nodded and started to walk away. You're just lucky my sword didn't clear its sheath, I retorted. What'd you say? The stranger said. You heard me, loud and clear, I said through gritted teeth. I punched him, and he fell to the ground. Oh, Lin, really? Cut it out, she said, scolding me like a mother to a child. Help the poor man up. I didn't move a muscle. Shift. Oh, honestly, she said, clicking her tongue at me and shaking her head. She bent down to help him up, but when she was low enough, he reached for her neck and snatched up her necklace. She screamed as he ran off into the night. I drew my sword to go after him, only getting a few paces when Anastasia stopped me. Anastasia, let me go. She held onto my arm. Lian, stop. It's not worth it. I sighed, turning to face her. Seeing she calmed me down, she continued. Just an old relic, really, she said, shrugging. The past is in the past, and we must move on. I just realized for the first time that we are both fooling ourselves, Lian. We must continue on with our lives. She reached up and kissed me on the cheek. What was that for? That was goodbye. I stood there a moment, and letting her words sink in. I heard the click of her shoes as she walked across the stone tiles of the castle courtyard. Back to the dance. Back to Zover. Away from me. Reckless. Irresponsible. I followed Dedgar with my gaze as he paced back and forth. I could feel his penetrating gaze on the back of my neck as I studied my hands, grinding my knuckles into my palms. My knuckles white as stone. Regret. Closed my eyes, feeling inferior in Dedgar's presence. Nausea gripped my stomach as a state of stupidity wafted into the forehead of my mind, making my face flush in embarrassment. I was confronting an incredibly wise man, the same man that raised me as his own, who showed me the wonderful world of swords. I let him down again. I let my gaze linger on the east wall of the barracks. Weapons of all sorts were lined up, hanging stoutly on a rack. I traced the edges of the swords with my gaze as they lay in the shadows. The necklace, closed my eyes, lost forever, just like Anastasia. Lian, are you... Pay attention, Dekgar demanded, snapping his fingers. I jerked back to attention and folded my hands as I leaned forward, trying to gather up the courage to meet his eyes. This is important, Dekgar emphasized, pausing to cross his arms as his brow and eyes tracked my every move. I squirmed, tensing as the feeling to defend myself burned itself in the back of my mind. My chest rose and fell, and irritability perched itself on my brow. All I did was punch the guy. I bit my tongue. Dekgar clenched his teeth, making his jaw bulge. All you did? Dekgar sighed. All I did, he says. Shadow cast over my pale form as he neared the bench I was sitting on. His footsteps echoed, the sound bouncing off the barracks walls. He sighed once more, and with a moan, he took a seat next to me. Lion, do you understand the gravity of the situation? As the High Knight, I have an obligation and responsibility for your mannerisms, and you have that same responsibility as a King's Knight and one who is a member of the Knight's Council. This is a minor misdeed of the code and law. Yes, but you have to tread lightly. Dekgar sighed, sitting there as he rubbed his beard. Oh, Lian, if only Danina was here, she would know what to do. Danina, Dekgar's wife, and only mother figure I had in my life. My heart beat spiked, his words cutting deep. I forced my mouth into a firm line, shooting a death glare at him. Something about Dekgar changed as his lips parted. No words followed, only a frown. I took that as a sign of disappointment for my present and past actions. Dekgar had given me so much. I didn't want it to be this way. Sometimes my anger got the best of me. Listen, it may not seem like a big deal, but you swore an oath to maintain a state of punctuality, out of respect, of honor, to conduct yourself in an utmost and polite way. You are under the service of our king, lad, our king, if you heard it, that one of his knights was reckless, irresponsible. I flinched, wiping a spit from my brow. He would see to it that a blank expression washed over Dekgar. That, I felt lightheaded, my breath short. Dekgar only shrugged and replied, I'm afraid I don't know. There's never been a reprimand in the Knight's Code before. No one has ever been known to break it, Dekgar said. Are you sure? I mean, surely I can't be the first one to ever break the Code of Conduct. I mean, right? Dekgar scanned the ground. Right? I asked again. I'm thinking. Just a moment. Dekgar yelled, his tone tense as he raised a hand for me to pause. There was one. His words mysticized me as his voice deepened into low growled tones. Everything stilled in silence as I anxiously awaited his reply. My breathing quickened as I stared Dekgar in the eye. Who? I whispered. Anastasia's father. Well, that was Dividing Swords, or the first chapter of it. I hope you enjoyed. Go check it out on Amazon. Yeah, this has been a somewhat longer episode than normal, so I guess I'll end it here. See you next month.